This is Andy Owens, and I'll be discussing Gary Steingart's Absurdistan, pages 233 to 235. I chose this passage mainly because I think it does an exemplary job in highlighting two of the most significant thematic elements of Absurdistan, which I believe are connected: Misha's anxious hunt for love and the ever-elusive search for redemption. I would like to consider these two themes along with their consequences, and introduce possible ways in which they become integral to the novel as a whole. I think that Sophia's passage and mine are definitely in dialogue with each other, as they highlight the ever-increasing self-awareness with which Misha struggles in the back half of the novel. Misha has been attempting to cope with the death of his father since early on in the novel, when he found out that his beloved papa was rather rudely interrupted on St. Petersburg's Palace Bridge by a homemade bomb. If true that beloved papa is almost always the term of choice for Misha when referring to his father, perhaps introducing the idea that beloved has lost some of its true meaning for Misha and consequently his reader, simply because the phrase is used so frequently. If we can propose the conclusion that Misha is more in love with the idea or memory of his father than with his father himself, there is definitely support to be had in chapter 30, where my passage is taken from. Through the use of apostrophe, Misha becomes painfully aware of the slippery slope of identity construction he has been attempting to navigate. He explains to the reader and then his father in absentia, "See, what I'm going for is a kind of totalitarian triumph over adversity story, with beloved Papa cast in the role of wise, fun-loving, middle-class parent. I'm trying here, Papa. I'm doing my best. But the truth always seems to dampen my best instincts." By acknowledging the fact that he is quote-unquote going for a certain kind of story, and ultimately acquiescing to its failure up to this point in his narrative, Misha concedes that perhaps the undying affection he claims for his father is not wholly genuine. As much as he may want to construct an identity for his father that turns the cold, ruthless Russian oligarch into a steadfast vendor of love, support, and acceptance, Misha knows better. Our protagonist claims that his father lived in an abstract world. I would argue that the apple did not fall far from the tree on that account. I think we can use Misha's relationship with his father as a corollary for some of the other relationships in his life. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that Misha is desperate to find love. He reluctantly tells us on page 234, "I guess the lesson is, freedom is anathema to dreams nurtured in captivity." When Misha was at home, his father was his only companion and the only assessor of his life's worth. Rather than face the reality that his father's affections seemed tepid at best, Misha creates the illusion of beloved Papa. Whatever freedom Misha finds after his departure from home and after his father's death makes the illusion of Boris Weinberg's love crumble in front of him. Similarly, it seems that Misha is more in love with the thought of Rowena than actually with her, even though he does leave Nana at the end of the novel to travel back to New York. At several points in the novel, we are presented with Misha's elaborate dreams that transport him across the Atlantic, over the island of Manhattan, and into the arms of his precious Rowena at the corner of 173rd Street and Vice. It seems to me that Misha is at his most honest about his relationship with Rowena when she isn't present. While his emails are still flooded with unyielding sentiments of love, they are also examples of Misha at his most critical of his relationship with her. I also see this emotional distancing taking place in the way Misha deals with his father's death. Dr. Levine seems to be Misha's emotional reinforcement. For the marginal fee of $350 an hour, Misha depends on his therapist for transcontinental affirmation of his own sanity. I wonder if there is a connection between Misha's desperate search for love and the ways in which he mediates his simultaneous relationships with the memory of his father and with Rowena. In a novel so focused and critical about a technocratic age, have electronic messaging and popping Ativan become replacements for good old human interaction and facing the truth of one's own harsh reality? I think Misha's search for love is also related to his quest for redemption. As Misha is taking his Roman-sized bath in the Park Hyatt's Fani City, he seems to be stepping into a kind of self-made baptismal basin. As the water absorbs the enormity of Misha's dead skin, it takes responsibility for his sins, and it seems as if our protagonist emerges instantly absolved. He even goes so far as to liken himself to the pregnant Virgin Mary, giving birth to the redemption of his own sins, signified by Son, with a capital S, referring to Jesus. Because Misha seems so confident in his feelings of being beautiful and blessed, he seems to quite literally wish to test out the waters and see how the imaginary figure of his father would view him now. However, Misha finds that his father's memory has refused to change. Instead of paying attention to his son, Boris Weinberg is busy organizing his underground business, as was always his norm. In a cry of desperation, Misha begs his father to notice him and bestow his approval. "Papa, look at me! Look how fine I've grown! Look how the water makes me so pretty and young. Instead of answering why he has interrupted the life of his own son, Misha's father's main concern is the choice between varieties of asparagus. If Misha's simultaneous searches for love and redemption are related, it seems to me that they inspire two main questions of the novel that are also in conversation with each other. First, is Misha Weinberg capable of being happy? One of the most touching scenes in the novel for me, and one in which we might see a true instance of Misha's contentment, is at the end of chapter 39. After being kicked in the mouth, Misha's manservant Timofey dutifully caters to his master. Timofey had clearly become tired after giving the longest speech of his life. I, too, felt woozy from the mouth pain and from the sharp pangs of incredulous love. He leaned his head on the pillow, while I leaned mine against the hard, bitter-smelling half-lapel of his Polish sport jacket, and in this way we went to sleep. I couldn't help but be reminded of Dickens when I read this passage, in the scene from Great Expectations, when Pip finally realizes that one of the only sources of happiness in his life is from his steadfast brother-in-law, Joe. Finally, I think the novel is saying something really profound about how true love and genuine redemption might be generated in the 21st century. It seems that Misha is capable of loving and forgiving everyone but himself. He even chases after hotel mates to absolve him of the petty sin of stumbling upon him in the bath. I think that the novel is asserting that perhaps the journey towards love and redemption doesn't start with somebody else, but maybe, just maybe, it starts with you.